Hello and welcome to another episode of Movie Mastery, the show where we watch the podcasts
that you watch. The podcast?
We watch the podcasts.
What?
They're over there, grazing. See them.
Don't tell them our secrets. We're going to get taken down like that Summerton YouTube guy. If they find out,
we watch the podcasts and steal their secrets.
If they find out all we do is listen to How Did This Get Made and then repeat it verbatim, we're going to be in trouble.
Well, clearly no one who has ever listened to this show has listened to any other movie review podcast.
Every movie is bonkers. I didn't watch it and would like to skip to the end.
We watch the movies that you tell us
there
to.
There we go.
I got a big old list of them. This is one of the ones that we have a DVD of. Someone sent it in, so it had two slots on the big old list.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
We had to watch Black Dog, which I assume we only got a DVD of that because the person who sent it in bought like seven of those $2 DVDs from Walmart and went, this looks weird.
Yeah, I wish I had done that right before they got rid of those, because nowadays when you go to Walmart, they don't have that rack of cheap DVDs anymore.
No.
It's a dead thing. Now it's all streaming instead.
Well, yeah, DVDs have become so very, like, no one buys this that you're like, oh, we can only afford any space for the things we know will sell.
Yeah.
We know nobody's going to buy, like, five Kung Fu classics for $3.
Yeah, that shit's over. Like, maybe that stuff's out there for remainder prices on eBay or something, but that'd be the only place I could expect to find it. The last one of those I ever bought was, what was it called? Workout with Uncle Milty.
Hell yeah.
It was a Milton Berle workout DVD.
Yep. The kind of thing where you're like, that's amazing and I want to own that, but it's not like that's ever going to come up on this show or anything.
No, it's useless. It's just something I wanted for myself.
Exactly.
And of course, you know, he's like 90 in it. I don't know when he died. So if he died before he turned 90, then, you know, my apologies.
But he is 90 in it, though.
He is 90 in this. And he isn't working out. He just pops up at the beginning and the very end to very obviously hit on the workout instructor and then just be like, yeah, and everything you're doing is so important and health is so important at every age. Okay, I'm Uncle Milty. Bye.
All right. Nice cans. Bye.
Yeah.
Anyway, we watch Black Dog. It is a Patrick Swayze trucker action movie.
And I honestly remember more about Workouts with Uncle Milty, which I haven't seen for at least 7 years.
At least.
Than this movie I watched last night.
Yeah. I'll be honest. I watched this morning and was like, this isn't terrible. It has a 14% on Rotten Tomatoes. And I was like, that feels harsh.
That's harsh, although it is so boring. It's just that
I don't even feel like it's particularly boring. I was like, this, honestly, watching it, I was like, I feel like this should have been bigger, because this seems like the kind of horse shit that people would eat up.
I suppose. I mean, to me, it was all stock characters, and it felt like an episode of a TV show. Like, the budget, I mean, sure, they smash a lot of trucks in this. Like, there's a lot of old semis that are destroyed as part of stunt work in this.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this is generally hailed as, like, one of the few last practical effect car movies.
Yeah.
Because they really moved on to like, we just do stuff on green screen and whatnot.
Yeah, but you know what? Those movies still exist and they're better now because that's what fucking Fury Road was. A full practical effect car movie. And this, meanwhile, is like, it fucking Patrick Swayze looking not great right near the end.
Nope, about 10 years from
about
the end.
10 years from the end, right near the end.
Right near it.
He started his end. It's right near the start of the slide. And just, the bad guy fucking quoting the Bible constantly. It was such a boring thing. It felt like an episode of a TV show is what it was to me.
I mean, for me, it more felt like they had a lot of ideas of what they wanted to do, but the execution was so generic, and that's where I feel like you're getting that TV show thing is.
Yeah.
Because you're like, oh, this just feels like we had to churn some shit out.
Yeah, like if the truck crashes were like several thousand dollars less expensive, this would just be like the pilot of a TV show about a hard life trucker man.
Yeah.
Is what this would be. It'd be like, oh, he's escaping from a bad guy and he has to use his knowledge of trucking to truck harder. And oh, they're setting up that there's an FBI man on his truck. And you're just like, okay, yeah, I get it. This is definitely some show called Convoy 1998. It feels like that.
Yeah.
It doesn't rise to the level where I feel like this deserved to be in theaters for some reason.
Yeah.
Outside of truck crash.
I mean, we're definitely not the target audience, which is, again, why I thought it would be better received among the target audience. That mostly being like, oh, we slathered this, which is with as much country as we possibly could.
Yeah.
This is like a Toby Keith album in that it's just, we went out of our way to find country that is undeserved and throw it in here.
Yeah. Yeah. It definitely has that.
It's got Randy Travis as the second person in, that's like the co-star.
Is that who that was? Okay.
Uh-huh.
That's fine. I was wondering who that dude was.
Yep. Country singer Randy Travis. That's why they make fun of him. Like, oh, you should never be a singer.
Ugh. God. Yeah, you shouldn't try and shoot free throws, Shaq. I mean, steal.
Ah.
Such a lame premise.
Ugh.
This movie just bummed me out.
Ha! I didn't have a bad time watching this. Like,
I'm
my spoiler-free review of this is, it is fine.
Eh.
Like, I have seen so many bad fucking movies on
this
that I was like, this rates as a fairly low end but very standard action film.
Yeah, I think the difference here is that you're much more comfortable just watching a low end bad action movie, where I like it when our movies are so bad that at least I'm getting an experience. That's like, to me, a good bad, watching a Baby Ghost is like ordering a round of Jepson's Malort for the table. And this is like ordering a round of Bud Light for the table. As in, everyone's just gonna be like, why did you do that?
Oh, that's why?
I don't want that. I mean, I'm going to drink it now because it's here.
All right.
But I'm going to forget about this, except for the fact that you made me do this. Everything else is going to slide away like tears in the rain.
Black Dog is like icing somebody. And
that
you're like, oh, hey, and this isn't that bad, but I'm going to act really angry about it. But it didn't matter.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's, to me, the worse the movie is, the more at least I'm like, man, this is fine. This is okay. What am I eating? I'm taking the world's spiciest chip challenge right now, except it's actually me watching Roller Gator.
Yeah, but instead you've got, I don't know, a fairly mediocre oatmeal cookie.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, well, I guess.
And nowadays, with the way my diet works, I'm like, the cookie had better be the best fucking cookie in the world or I'm not touching it. Because why risk going blind over that shit?
So there you go. Spoiler free review is meh. It's fine.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
For me.
Yeah. For you. My spoiler free review is you could probably just look out your window for 2 hours and have more interesting things happen.
That's not true. I'm not going to see Patrick Swayze and Meatloaf out there. And if I did, I would be very concerned.
You've entered the land of the dead.
Oh no. All right. We are going to play a little music. Come right back and have the full in-depth spoiler review for 1998's Black Dog.
Hey, mama said the way you move gonna make you sweat, gonna make you groove.
We're back, and it is time to talk about Black Dog.
Yeah, yeah, sure is. Here
the
we
old
go.
Black Dog.
That old Black Dog.
Old Black Dog won't hunt.
Old Black Dog gonna get you. Notably, this movie contains both the trucker legend of the Black Dog and also just some black dog.
Yeah.
And yet neither one of them is integral to the plot or really has anything to do with it.
No, it's wild to me that they really sort of, like, they take a couple parts of this movie to go like, yeah, there's a legend about a black dog and it'll fuck your shit up, and black dog, it's a symbol of death, and you're like, okay, does that mean anything? And you're like, nah, I don't really.
No, I mean, it's gonna have a point where we establish what Swayze's backstory is and that's part of it, and then move on from there, because he's just a generic dad on the edge action trucker.
It's also, I gotta say, having Patrick Swayze's character, Jack Cruz.
Which, terrible name.
Yeah.
Just gonna put that out. I fucking did not like this.
No, Jack Cruz is very much the, like, oh, you have 2 seconds to come up with an action hero. Go.
And
you're like,
he drives
Jack
a truck.
Cruz.
And he drives a truck, so you gotta put some car shit in there. Jack, turn signal. Try again. Jack.
Diesel.
It's obviously Jack. It's gotta be Jack. Jack Diesel's too porny. One more try.
Jack Cruz control.
Whoa, hold on. You said it and then you embellished. Hang on, we got this.
Hold on.
Jack control.
Jack control. Hell yeah. Baby, you know I got Jack control.
Yeah. But he's just the, like, oh, I'm out of the game. You're being forced back in and your kid's in trouble. Oh, now they've messed with the wrong man. You'll wait until you see my crazy set of skills I have for killing. Why do you have those? Don't worry about it.
That is the biggest issue I have here, is this feels like every movie like this, you would think this guy would be like, oh, I was special forces for years and then I got out and then all I wanted was a simple life as a trucker. Yeah. But then, and you're like, oh no, this dude had a simple life as a trucker. And then he's like, and I went to prison. You're like, you were there for 2 years and it was because you committed accidental vehicular manslaughter.
Uh-huh. And then when he came out, he was like, I can't drive anymore, which is a shame because I'm the world's greatest death driver. And you're like, no, you're not. They didn't teach you that in prison because they don't let you have semi-trucks in prison, generally.
The fact that he gets shot at one point and then puts, like, gunpowder in the wound and lights it on fire to cauterize, he's like, I learned that in prison. How? When? Why?
Were they just teaching that? Was it in, like, purely a theory class where they were, like, the theory of what to do if you get shot and you have some gunpowder?
Yeah, like, his fucking roommate was like, hey, just so you know, if you ever get shot and you have bullets lying around that you can easily get the gunpowder of, you can put it in your wound and light it on fire.
Yeah.
No, this isn't a prank. I'm definitely not fucking with you.
Yeah. And he was like, yeah, that sounds serious. And he's like, it is. I learned it from watching Lethal Weapon. Welcome to day two of things I learned from watching action movies class. Only taught in prisons.
It's so weird that Swayze is like, spends this whole movie being an action badass, and his entire backstory is, I drove a truck for a while and then fucked up and killed someone, and now I'm having to drive a truck again.
Yes, he has no reason to have the skills he has. Movie even sets up all the necessary pieces for a character that would have had those skills. Like, you've got two cops who don't like each other from different forces who have to team up to do their whole cop thing.
Yeah, man, and you got Rock and Ned Ryerson are teaming up to...
It is Tobolowsky, and yeah. Okay, yeah. Yeah, yeah. But I mean, ultimately, they should be there so that one of them can tell the other one, it's Jack Cruz, world's greatest death trucker. He knows every trick there is about killing guys with trucks.
Oh my God, it's Jack Cruz.
Lock up your daughters.
He's a ghost. Yeah. He gets on the highway and you'll never find him.
Lock up your daughters and bury your sons alive now before he gets to them and does worse. You know, that kind of shit. And instead it's like, who is he? I don't know, some dumb fuck trucker.
Yeah, they're like, oh, this guy, what do we have on him? He used to do trucking routes from Georgia. Okay, anything else? Yeah, he was in prison for a couple of years and then got out on good behavior and didn't do anything. You're like, okay.
And he was even in prison just because of an accident. Like, yeah. It's not even like a vehicle, an intentional vehicular manslaughter.
Yeah, it's...
He fucking fell asleep at the wheel. He's got no bones. There's no juice to this man.
Yeah, which... It makes sense because originally this was going to be Kevin Sorbo, and I'm like, oh yeah, that makes sense for a Sorbo joint.
How does that happen? How does that happen where you have to step to like, we couldn't get Kevin Sorbo. We had to go with legendary international superstar Patrick Swayze, who was our second choice.
Apparently, Sorbo injured his shoulder and couldn't do it, and they were like, well, I guess we'll actually try then.
It's like, there's no way that would... That's such a weird step.
It is very strange.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, you know, nice step up there you went from Sorbo to Swayze.
Yeah,
but this feels like a Sorbo joint, so...
I mean, the problem is all of the energy and interest is drained right out of Patrick Swayze. There's just nothing. He's a shell of a man in this movie.
I mean, even when we first meet him, and he's like, oh, he's a... like, just working on big rig trucks as just a mechanic in some shop, and gets bullied by not even the shop owner, just one of the managers is like, yeah, you gotta stay late and finish this truck, even though we didn't have to do it till tomorrow. And he's like, but I was gonna pick up my daughter from school. That sounds nice, but how about fuck you, man? And he's like, okay, that's very good. I am a quiet, unassuming man. I just want my job.
I just need to get through this. There's a bit that makes it feel like a Sorbo movie where they, like, he needs a reason to accept this stupid job he takes to drive a truck. And it's that they're like $9,000 in debt at his house. And he's like, we can't go back to the big city. I moved us out of the main part of New York out here to the boonies because I'm sick of my daughter having to go to school with all those thugs and the metal detectors. And I was like, oh, this is a Kevin Sorbo movie, huh?
Uh-huh. No, the fact that it's like, hey, I'm going to pay you $10,000 even though you don't have a license anymore and you just got back out of jail and you need this job – I'm going to have you drive a truck from Georgia to here. This is very clearly highly illegal, which is why I'm coming to you. So in addition to you breaking parole and driving without a license, you're obviously smuggling something.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, no, I can't do that. I just want to work clean. And then finds out he might have to live in an apartment instead of a house in the suburbs and is like, well, time to go be a criminal.
Yeah. I mean, he has one little line about how the daughter needs a yard. And I'm like, not that bad.
No. Here's the thing.
There's parks.
She don't.
Maybe the apartment complex has a shared area, you know? One of those.
Huh?
Maybe you get a pool. He's like, no, I have to commit random unspecified crimes because of all those crimes in the inner city. And you're like, dude, get off the fucking horse. When he's like, I moved us away from all that crime, so I have to go commit some crimes so we can stay away from crime.
It is...
But I'm different because I'm old and white.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It really, when you find out that it was supposed to be Sorbo, everything clicks into place for this movie. Because there is a lot of shit like that.
Yeah.
But Jack is... God, like you said, Swayze just has nothing to work with here. There's no juice for him.
Yeah.
Like, the character is meant to just kind of be like, oh, you're the stoic badass that things happen around. And it's why he has to have on his, you know, once he finds out that they're going to foreclose on the house, and he's like, I'll take $10,000 to drive an illegal truck. Like, he has to have a whole crew of characters with him, because otherwise it would be intensely boring to just be like, anyway, this guy very competently drives a truck.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to make a movie about just one trucker. You have to do the CB radio thing, like a convoy movie, or the trucker just has to be the faceless antagonist, like Duel?
Yeah.
Yeah, that kind of thing.
Well, that's what I was thinking when I was watching it. I was like, oh, before they set up that he was going to have, like, three fucking dudes hanging out with him the whole time, I was like, oh, are they going to try and do, like, a thing like Duel, where you're like, oh, it's very intense, he's never able to get out of the truck, so you have this whole, like, intensity and claustrophobia, and you're like, oh, no, of course not. They'll keep stopping and getting out,
yeah,
even when they're being pursued for no reason.
Basically, this movie needed more cliches to pack in, so that means that he needs to have three extra people with him, and the other characters in the movie will trip over their dicks and fall through plate glass windows to try and make a cliche happen, even if it makes the movie make no sense.
Yes.
Like, so, to get the idea across, his boss, played by Charles S. Dutton... No, wait, Charles S. Dutton is
no,
Rock,
it's Graham Beckel.
It's Graham Beckel. His boss is this dude who's like, yeah, you need to drive this truck for me from Atlanta. I'd hate for you to not do it and not have your job. You know what I'm thinking? Why don't you sleep on it and do this job? I'll pay you 10 grand. And then he finds out from his wife they're $9,000 in debt. And he's like, well, I just got offered a job to do something obviously illegal, but I'm mad about thugs, so I'm going to say yes to it. Then he does that, and then I'm sorry, I don't want to jump too far ahead, but effectively at a certain point the boss is like, I think I'll go kidnap his wife and kid. I'm
oh,
like,
no.
He's already doing the thing.
Both main villains in this, because the other main villain is Red, played by Meatloaf.
Yeah.
And both of them have fully fucking nonsensical reactions to things.
Yeah, because the other one with Red is the person who's has the current shipment of guns. That's what they're smuggling in this movie. It's a big thing of guns. So he's holding it. And they've sent down a driver to drive the truck up there because Charles S. Dutton. I know that's fucking Rock, and my head's all twisted.
Yeah.
But his boss sends down him to drive it up because he doesn't trust any of Red's drivers. So Red's like, great, here's a truck, drive it up there, and then waits for about an hour and then goes, let's go hijack that truck. I'm like, you had the truck already.
Yeah, it is so weird that he's like, all right, I've got an entire shipment of illegal guns that I'm just sitting on. And then waits till this guy comes down, gives him the shipment and a whole ass like truck to haul it with.
And a security detail who are not in on the hijacking.
Yeah, it's like, here's three extra guys. One dude's going to sit in with you. One dude is going to drive a car behind you as protection. And then that guy driving also has a dude in the car with him. One of those guys is in on it.
Yeah, and he's only in on it insofar as he's an informant. He does not know what's actually happening.
And then it is just like, all right. And after they take off, it's not like he goes, oh, I learned now what was in there. Like before.
No, he knew.
Yeah. It wasn't like, oh, I gave him this shipment. And then he finds out like, oh, wait a minute. They're smuggling like $30 million worth of illegal guns. I want that. Instead, they take off, and he immediately is like, okay, now let's go send our boys to go get it. And I'm like, what fucking plan is this?
Especially because when the boss who ordered the guns in the first place, the New Jersey boss, orders the gun.
Yeah, Cutler
Cutler, thank you. When he hears tell of this, he doesn't go like, what? I'm being betrayed by Red Meatloaf? I can't believe this. What a shock. I'll send some men to deal with him. He just kind of goes, yeah, I figured that'd happen. Can you handle it? And it's like, then why would you trust him to have the shipment for even a second? And why did he have the shipment for even a second without just stealing it and selling it and skipping town or whatever?
And even,
why is any of this happening?
Even wilder than that, to me, is Red will attempt to hijack this shipment several more times. Like,
yes,
three more times he will try. After, like, the first one is, he just sets up sort of a roadblock with
like
a truck. And he's like, oh, I'm going to wait until he stops and then we'll get him.
Yeah.
And obviously, Swayze is just like, I'm a badass. I'm going to run through this because this is a big fucking truck and that's a littler truck. So I'm just going to smash through it. Who cares?
Yeah.
And indeed he does. And at that point, at least, I could go, all right, I understand Red trying one more time. But the next time that he tries it, he sends out three trucks, which, again, I'm not sure where these are coming from, because at this point Swayze's been driving for hours.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he is no longer in like Georgia.
Yeah, he's driving from Georgia to Jersey.
Yeah, so he's in like Carolinas somewhere.
Yeah,
when this happens. But like, three of Red's guys show up in big old trucks as well, and I'm like, where did you get those? I know you have your own trucking company. So getting a truck to, like, head them off at the pass, I guess makes sense when they were in Georgia and just starting out.
Mm-hmm.
But who did you go to that was in, like, North Carolina and go, hey, give me some trucks?
Right. One of these trucks, there are three trucks that try and do that box maneuver where they pull in on all sides of them and then come to a stop. One of those is, they're all tractors, and every one of them is also pulling a full trailer. One of those trailers is completely loaded with cars.
Yep.
And we hit a point where he wrecks all three of these enemy trucks and kills all the drivers of all of them and everything, all while driving. And I'm like, there's no way that, I mean, what's the average cost, do you think, of a fucking tractor, let alone a trailer full of cars, in 1998 when this movie came out?
Oh, yes.
Where you're like, I'm going to throw literal millions of dollars at this problem.
Yep.
Because I'm a truck-owning man, and the only way I can think is in trucks. So all of my ambushes will be truck bushes. We'll put trucks in front of him. We'll crash into him with trucks. We'll have trucks that dump motorcycles that roll over to him to hold him still until trucks can get there. I'm like, I appreciate that Meatloaf has a supervillain iconography and theme to him, but just shoot the man with a sniper rifle or something out of a car. You don't need to do everything with these million-dollar vehicles.
It's wild. And, you know, the first time that they get into an altercation where Red tries to get them, you know, a car shows up with a shotgun.
Yeah.
And, you know, it slams into the car that is supposed to be, you know, tailing them. And I just keep thinking, like, that's your man in that car. Those are your dudes.
Yeah.
In a car that you sent them.
Yeah.
And instead of, like, having, say, like, Red just call up on the phone, because they all have cell phones,
mm-hmm,
just going, hey, you can pull off of detail, like, before he does the ambush, and just go, hey, it's fine, we don't need you after all.
Yeah, we're swapping you out for a different driver from the Carolinas or something, whatever you want to do.
Yeah, have the two guys that have a shotgun and are in on the ambush be like, oh, these guys are relieving you, it's okay, you can come back.
Yeah.
And instead of doing that, he's like, I'm just going to have these guys shoot a shotgun at this car and alert them to the fact that we are trying to take this way early.
Yes. Yeah, it's fucking ridiculous. Everything about Red's plan is insane. Like,
yeah,
if you knew you were going to hijack the truck, why did you give him a crew? He doesn't know you're supposed to get a crew. He doesn't know anything.
No, he's angry because he's like, oh, I'm going to drive it up. And then when he goes like, oh, Earl's going to go with you, who's played by Randy Travis.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, ugh, why?
I don't want a guy.
And he's just like, yeah, well, someone's got to drive the truck back after you finish the delivery. And he's like, oh, I guess that makes sense. Anyway, also, I'm sending this car. Oh, I don't need a car. Yeah, well, it's company policy. You have to.
Detail. If you had just said, here's a truck. Why don't you go? They're going to get it ready for you over the next hour or so. You go ahead and have a seat here in my office, and in an hour, take the truck. And then just, you know, little side villain whisper, go, yeah, rig it so that it looks like it's full of gas, but it's actually empty. He'll run out of gas about a mile from here, and we can shoot him with a gun, with bullets that come out of a gun. And then we'll have the truck. Or
just shoot him
now.
There.
Shoot him now and be like, oh, your driver died, and we're keeping all these guns.
Yeah. It's so insane. It makes no sense. Red's entire plan is insane.
Are we missing something?
I don't fucking... When I'm pretty sure one of the people that he loses in that, like, box-in maneuver is his kid. I'm pretty sure the...
Oh, Earl guy?
No. Earl is the one who's a Randy Travis.
Oh, sorry. The one with, like, the one who's, like, the dirty, shitty guy.
Yeah, who... I believe he keeps calling Junior, and
yeah, Junior,
I think is
it.
His fucking kid, dies, and then Red's reaction to that is, huh, he never was a good driver, guess I'm gonna do it myself. I'm just like, do what yourself? You show up in a pickup truck.
Yeah.
This man has already shown you he can easily take out three huge fucking, like, Mack trucks by himself, mm-hmm. even when all of them also have guns, and you're like, yeah, but what if I bump him a little with a fucking, like, Ford F-150? Nothing. Nothing will happen.
I mean, ultimately, my problem is always that Red thinks entirely in terms of truck, where you're like, I don't know, spike strip the road, shoot his tires out, whatever. Just something that makes the truck stop that isn't another truck is a great solution, and there are a wide variety... Wait until he runs out of gas.
He sends two motorcycles at one point, and one of the guys jumps off the motorcycle into that little in-between space between the trailer and the truck.
Yeah.
And starts unhooking the fucking, like, gas cables and whatnot. And I'm like, hey, look, useful plan.
Uh-huh.
You could do that. But, you know, obviously.
It feels completely unnecessary to Indiana Jones your way off a motorcycle onto a moving vehicle. First of all, you definitely just wrecked a motorcycle. So that's one more piece of equipment that you threw away in pursuit of a goal that you could accomplish with the bullets that come out of a gun. You could just shoot the tires of the truck until it's got so few tires that it must stop.
And yet, it's insane. I cannot understand this. The other thing that is insane is, as we mentioned, like, while this is happening, Jack is like, oh, we're like, he knows that this is getting fucked with. Like, he calls and Cutler's just like, hey, what's going on? And he's like, oh, this Red guy's trying to hijack my shit. He's tried twice. I've killed three of his men. And he's like, oh, well, you better finish the job. And then goes and kidnaps this dude's family. And I'm like, he was already doing the job.
He was remarkably dedicated, all things considered.
The fact that he calls up and he's like, I have murdered three men and I am on my way. And then you think this man needs some incentive.
I mean, the best I can figure with Cutler, like, the Red plot makes literally zero sense.
Yes.
No sense at all. It's sold entirely on the idea of what if Meatloaf wore a nice church shirt and yelled about scripture. That's all. If you like that concept, if the idea of him yelling, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death appeals to you,
yeah,
then you will enjoy seeing him do those things. But with Cutler, it's like, I don't feel like he ever actually intended to pay this guy $10,000. I think he was like, yeah, we'll tell him we'll pay him $2,000. Then we'll kidnap his wife and kid, and we'll just kill everybody, but make it look like it's a whole kidnapping thing. We'll never give him any money. Like, that at least made a little sense if you think of this guy as eviler than he is and less stupid than he is.
But that, again, would be a thing where I'm like, that seems like something you would do to start. You would be like, oh, I want this person to do this job because I'm not going to pay him $10,000, which is, you know, a pittance of the $30 million that I'm doing.
Yeah.
But I'm a fucking penny pincher, and I'm going to keep that $10,000.
Yeah.
You would think you would start at, we have your family, drive this truck.
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, he's going to kill him, and it's not about the $10,000, it's the loose end thing.
Yeah.
Where he's like, this driver was a dumb bumblefuck who I managed to con into doing this job. Now I kill him, so he can't be traced back to me, and I'm going to kill his family on the balance. Done. Great, I'm a 30 millionaire, and I killed some people I didn't give a shit about. That makes sense. A little bit. Like, this guy's some sort of ruthless bad guy. Whatever.
It just, The order of operations for everyone here is wildly out of sync.
Yeah, it feels like the movie was written, it went through a bunch of script reshoots or just reshoots, and they didn't necessarily think about whether or not any of this makes sense now when they were done.
Yeah.
But, you know, he's driving, they try to hijack the truck with just a car.
Now, I should go into his other members of his crew.
Sure, let's go through the crew.
So, you have Earl, who starts out in the cab with him. Randy Travis, whose whole deal is like, oh, I want to be a singer-songwriter, and I've got a little notebook, and I make notes about song lyrics I'm going to do, and isn't that funny?
Well, sure glad that he comes with that little wink-wink to the audience, because we have no idea why he's here or what his backstory is. We just know about the singing thing.
He's some driver for Red,
yeah.
Which, again, is wild that he's not in on it.
Yeah. And that I guess Red doesn't care if he dies or not.
No.
Like, why even send him?
It's, again, order of operations, my man.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
So we have no idea who this is. We just know he's guy number two. And he's going to end up being the good guy, even though it's quite suspicious that he might be the bad guy for the first 10 or 15 minutes of this. You've got
the car detail is Sonny and Wes.
So Sonny is a secret FBI man.
Yep. He is a plant. He's the cool black guy.
Uh-huh.
And because each car is basically one cool, like, super badass and one annoying dimwit. So Patrick Swayze gets Randy Travis in his car.
Mm-hmm.
And then Sonny has Wes. And Wes is a chuckle fuck that has to pee a lot.
He's a Steve Zahn type, although I don't believe he's actually Steve Zahn.
Nope. Brian Vincent.
Yes. He just plays a very Steve Zahn type.
Yeah.
And his deal is that he's a coward, chuckle fuck idiot who has a colostomy bag because he got shot through the gut.
Had it one. Now he just has to pee a lot.
He has to pee all the time. Which you think would make him a very bad person to put on a long haul trucker security driving detail.
And also, he knows this. Like, he explains at one point,
yeah,
you know, the whole, oh, I was shot and, you know, it fucked up my ability to, you know, hold anything, so I have to pee a lot. Anyway, every time we stop this truck, which oddly enough is constantly,
uh-huh,
even though we know we are being pursued by a dude who wants to murder us with trucks, they just constantly are like, we should stop by the side of the road and talk about things,
yeah,
because there are four of us and we need to talk about things.
Yeah.
But they keep stopping at, like, gas stations, and then he'll come back in with a giant fucking soda and a bunch of snacks. You're like, dude, you know you can't hold your liquids. What are you doing?
Still got to stay hydrated.
Stay hydrated.
Ultimately, I can't be mad at this guy for having been gut shot and needing to pee constantly, but he is in the wrong line of work.
And also, I saw you have a giant cup. You piss in that fucking cup.
Yeah, you road bomb. In fact, there's a part where he throws a bottle out of the car, but it's an empty bottle. He just throws it against a no littering sign to establish that he's kind of an asshole.
Yeah.
And Sonny is like, hey, what the fuck are you doing? And he's like, they know they're running guns, but they don't know that Red's going to try and hijack the shipment.
Yeah.
So when he's like, what are you doing? That you want us to get hauled over for a felony? And Wes is like, dude, we're clearly already committing a felony. We're following a truck full of guns. We're the security detail. And Sonny goes, I don't know what you're talking about. I am driving a car.
Yeah, I'm driving a car. I'm not hauling anything.
Yeah. I am a Fremen on the land. Do the Sovereign Citizens also think they're Fremen, like from Dune? Is that a thing?
Yes, clearly.
The water is life, and therefore you cannot arrest me.
The water is life, and that is a maritime flag.
I don't respect the joinder of an ocean flag because I've never seen one. The only blues I know are my eyes from the spice melange. Therefore, you must acquit.
Also, I gotta say, Patrick Swayze's wife in this is Brenda Strong, who is fully just ingrained in my head as a mom,
mm-hmm,
in the 90s. And as soon as she showed up, I was like, God, you are like the platonic ideal of a 90s mom in a movie. Like, this is the perfect casting for this.
When I saw that casting, I knew you're absolutely right. The only person who could be better would be that E.T. mom who's in 5 million things as the mom.
Yeah.
But when I first saw the casting, because it was in the style, it had the name, I was like, holy shit, I guess Macaulay Culkin's actor wife is a lot older than I thought she was.
Uh-huh.
And then I reminded that's Brenda Song, and this is Brenda Strong.
Indeed.
There's some extra letters in there.
Letters.
That's on me.
Now, we have mentioned that Sonny is a secret FBI agent.
Uh-huh, which will amount to nothing.
We should also say this will continue to cut back to a joint task force between the FBI and ATF, which the movie sort of begins with a car chase where the ATF absolutely fucks everything up for the FBI. And Charles S. Dutton is the FBI agent. And Stephen Tobolowsky, you know, Ned Ryerson from Groundhog Day, which is the only thing I will ever know him as, even though I've seen him in a million things, he will always be Ned Ryerson.
That's fair. I think of him as Tobo. Like, I like the man by himself.
He is playing the ATF agent. And so Dutton's whole deal is, you know, he's your standard.
Like, I need an acid.
God damn it. You fucked me over. Bah! And, you know, Steven is playing the, well, I'm going to use a bunch of like
the same psychology
jargon.
So all he ever says,
I'm trying to start a dialogue with you.
I'm detecting a lot of masculine and hostility right now. Yeah. There it is again. There's that hostility. That's just that stuff.
Yes.
Which I liked a lot because it felt less like he was, mostly because of the way Tobo's playing it. It feels less like he's actually the pissant psychology obsessed bad cop shitty cop to Charles S. Dutton's good cop, and more like he's using it to rile him up.
Yeah.
Because he's so sarcastic every time. He's just like, I'm detecting a lot of masculinity issues. Are you having some trouble with that? Would you like to talk? And you're like,
You're clearly doing this on purpose.
That is a wind-up. That is all that is. Except it isn't. It's supposed to be that he's actually like that, because there's a point where he breaks and gets mad, and, you know, Dutton gets to go, there, doesn't that feel better?
Yeah.
When he's like, oh, you do not get to fuck this shit up for me, you pissant. And he's like, there you go. Now
there
you're
are,
mad
buddy.
As I am.
Yeah. There. Now you're acting like a man.
Now we're both the kind of cops that people want to see. Real weird, angry ones.
That's what people want. They want to think about the people who are in charge being absolutely furious at all times.
So if you
want
to know what the actual point of the cops in this movie is, nothing. They have nothing to do with anything until the very end of the movie when they're Santa Claus.
Yeah, like, Sonny is a plant in this, but all he is there to do, essentially, is he, like, checks in once.
Yeah, he gets caught on his phone, which is the closest thing he does to contributing to the plot.
And, of course, being caught on the phone is, he is part of the, who's the one telling Red where we are? Because Red keeps finding them to ambush them, and they're like, oh, someone is giving information to Red, and so rather than being, like, fingered as a plant from the FBI, they're like, oh, you're the one giving up our info.
And he's like, no, I was calling my mom. Because he's good at it. He's like, he has a perfect cover story because he's FBI.
Yeah. He's like, my mom is dying of cancer. She's in this specific hospital. She has this specific nurse. Here's the phone. You can call if you want, but you better make it quick because she doesn't have a lot of energy because she's dying.
Yeah.
And, like, fucking Gabriel Cassius is the one who plays Sonny. And he is probably my favorite person in this.
Uh-huh.
He's the only one that I was like, oh, man, I like what you're doing. I like your story. You've got good chemistry with the other people on here. I love that. And then he gets shot and dies.
Yeah.
Because fuck you.
He's the only good guy that does, too.
Yeah.
So that's a bummer. His FBI plot ends there. We never get a connection between him and the other cops in this. He dies before he ever has a chance to check in with them in a spot where we can see that happening. So he never really contributes any FBI stuff other than, I'm with the FBI, and I know you're delivering this stuff to rescue your wife and kids, but it's guns, and you're going to get a lot more people killed. And then that causes Patrick Swayze to basically go like, I know, you're right. I'm going to do a cool thing at the end instead.
And Wes, the little shitty guy in the car,
Zahn type,
is the one who is actually giving the information to Red, and fucking nothing bad happens to him. Like, he gets scot-free.
He gets beat up pretty good at one point, but yeah, he does get off. He doesn't really get off scot-free. He gets picked up by the cops at one point, who are just apparently driving all over the place.
Well, they have a tracker on the truck that Swayze is driving, because Sonny puts it there.
Yeah. I'm just saying that most of the time they spend in this movie, they spend standing in a command center, like some cop office somewhere, having conversations around a big table.
Yeah.
But when it's time for shitty little Steve Zahn type to get arrested, in the middle of fucking nowhere when they stop at some gas station somewhere. It's those the ATF agent and the FBI agent that show up to get him.
Well, yes, because like, they think that it's that truck.
Oh, I know.
Because Swayze takes the tracker and is like, all right, Wes, I'm only going to let you leave if you hitch a ride out of here and because we're not going to take you back. And then he's like, yeah, I'm specifically doing that so I can put the tracker on your truck.
He gives them a chance. He's like, look, this is what I'm going to go do. I'm going to finish this drive. I got another 3 or 4 hours to get into New Jersey. At this point, you already know what's happening. You know who's chasing us and you know what's waiting for us. You can come with me or not. And Randy Travis is like, I guess I'm going with you because I have no character or backstory, so I'm not needed anywhere else.
I got nothing better to do. All right.
I'm in here for the whole movie, baby.
Hell yeah. They paid for the whole Randy Travis.
So what's your motivation to go with me and not just cash out at this point? There's no money or anything at the end of this.
Yeah, you're not getting anything. Your boss has already attempted to murder you, and the guns we're giving over is attempting to murder my family, so you know they're not going to pay you.
Yeah.
Like, what do you think you're getting out of this?
Yeah, you should just leave. And he's like,
I'm a good guy.
I'm a good man. But Wes is like, I'm out. And everyone's looking at him like the dumbest coward in the world. And I'm like, you don't want him on your team anyway.
No.
Just leave. But yeah, they use it as they knew he was going to leave and they move the tracker to the truck he goes into.
Yeah. And so that's why, you know, fucking Dutton and Tobolowsky show up is because they're like, oh, wait a minute. Now the truck is going back down to Georgia. Maybe he already dropped off the shipment. Fuck, we've got to move right now. So yeah. They all show up because they think they're going to get the actual driver and all of the shit.
But again, they're still like 2 or 3 hours out of New Jersey. So I have no idea how the fuck they got there so fast.
I mean, they do show they have a helicopter. There is a helicopter in that like traffic stop all that right. They do.
There you go. I guess they helicoptered their way over there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but yeah, it's just fucking incident after incident. We have the scene where they catch Sonny on the phone. He goes through the whole routine about how it was his mom. And they're like, well, wait a minute. That means the only person left that we haven't accused of it yet is Wes. And then they catch him on a phone in a bathroom and, you know, he's pleading for his life and then he pulls a gun and they're all fighting. There is a dog that we haven't even mentioned yet.
Oh, yeah.
There's Tiny.
There is a dog named Tiny in the back of this truck.
We don't know why.
We don't have any idea why because, like, he opens up the cab, or not the cab, the trailer of this truck and a big black dog is there and it barks at him. And yeah, you're like, oh, look, the titular black dog.
Yeah, it's like a big pit bull mix or something.
And the no one there seems to know why or how that dog is there. And yeah. No one also seems to give a shit.
Randy Travis Earl, I guess, at least knows of the dog.
Yeah, so he's Red like, oh, knows. He's like, oh, that's Tiny as well.
That's Tiny. He's part of it. You're just delivering him too, I guess. He's not anyone's dog. He's just there. He's just in the back of the truck.
And I was like,
in the trailer.
And I'm just going, you don't have food for this dog. You don't have water for this dog. And you are doing ridiculous stunt nonsense with your fucking truck with this dog in the back. Why is this dog here? And the dog I thought for sure was going to be fucking Chekhov's dog. We're like, oh, we get to the very end and like, fucking Cutler has his wife and he's got to find something to do. And he's like, I'm going to get my guns and he'll like open up the back of it. And then the dog gets him and that's how the thing is saved. And oh, the titular black dog saved the day. But yeah. No, he does nothing.
He does nothing. If you thought that this movie featured a black dog that hides out in the back of the truck because the movie's called Black Dog and there was a black dog might feature in the movie at some point or in some way, you were wrong. Like I was expecting the dog to be the thing that got Red in the end. Like, Red manages to be like, yeah. Give me the truck. Like, he gets him at gunpoint and is like, give me the fucking truck. And he does, and he goes back there to check the cargo and gets mauled by the dog.
Well, yeah, both of us had the thought of one of the villains is going to get got by this dog.
Yeah.
Obviously, this dog is going to be important.
Yeah.
Because you have set up not only that this dog is back there, but two separate scenes of going, he's still back there.
Yeah, because there's a scene where, like, a border patrol agent, because there's I guess it's not border patrol. I'm thinking
just a
in
way
terms
station.
Of California. There's a way station. Yeah, there's a way station they get stopped at, and the, Swayze manages to talk his way through most of it by being like, oh, I used to drive trucks in this area. Do you know this guy? And so on. But when he's investigating the truck, he never looks quite into the guns because the dog starts barking, so it distracts him. And he's like, there's a dog back here. Not my dog. Came with a cargo. Okay, well, you got to put a leash on that guy or something. Let's get out of here.
Well, no. The cop gets called
I know.
Away
I know.
Because the whole point is Sonny calls and is like, dude, you got to tell these fucking way station people to let this truck through because you're going to fuck our operation.
Yeah. Yeah. But the dog, now, so that's one black dog. Also, when all of them are in the truck together, there's a point where they no longer have the car. Wes is tied up in the back because he's been just determined to be the bad betrayer. And the other three are driving around and they have a conversation about the black. Oh, this is after Sonny is dead.
Yeah.
The three of them, because Wes is part of the conversation. So basically he's like, so you learned that cauterizing move from prison? You were on the inside? And he goes, yeah. Well, what was your crime? Vehicular manslaughter. Oh, you saw the black dog, didn't you?
Yeah. And then Randy Travis spins a tale of when truckers dig too greedily and too deep, when they're too focused on making money and they're too tired, but they're still driving, then the black dog comes to ruin their life.
Is the black dog the name of their crank dealer? I thought we all knew how trucks actually worked. But apparently you start seeing a Doberman. It's a different dog. It's a Doberman instead of a pit bull. A ghost Doberman that sort of runs around like the Gamork in the Neverending Story. And right when it jumps up on the windshield and goes, rah, then you realize you're about to smash into a parked station wagon with a woman and man in it and kill them. And then he's like, yep, I've regretted that. And they took my license away. And it was the black dog got me, buddy. And it was not worth it.
Ruined my life. It took everything from me.
Okay, so does that mean, are we going to see it again now? Is it going to be a part of this?
Is there going to be a point where, like, again, I was like, so is, like, is Red going to be in one of these
are you
chasing
now
after him, but he'll see the black dog and fucking veer off or some shit?
Is there going to be a part in the movie where you, like, go and kill Red in his truck and you declare yourself the black dog? Is that it?
Is there going to be a point where you see the black dog, but now you've redeemed yourself, so it just nods sagely from the side of the road at you?
It gives you a knowing nod and a single teardrop.
Just winks and then nods as you drive off.
It drives by like Venom on the cartoon.
I just, everything about black dogs in this movie called Black Dog does not pay off at all ever.
Yeah, it's got nothing to do with anything.
It's all set up and no payoff.
Mm-hmm.
Wild.
Anyway, then eventually he does call. He knows that Cutler has taken his family hostage.
Yeah.
So all this it does is piss him off more because, you know, he's a movie dad. So he's just like, oh, now it's serious.
And oh,
like,
no, now I have superpowers.
Now I can do whatever. So he's like, all right, here's how it's going to go down. You're threatening to kill my family, but I know you want your guns more than I want my wife alive, apparently. So meet me at this dock in this location and we'll do the trade.
Yeah.
And he's like, you're not in a position to make demands. And he's like, yeah, I am. I have your guns.
I have $30 million worth of guns that you want, and I know you're the one who is trying to get them. So fucking deal with me or don't.
By the way, if you're wondering what's up with Red after he tried his three different hijacking attempts, don't worry about it.
Yeah. Red,
they want you to think he's dead, but he's definitely not, because he shows up as a surprise reveal at the very end of the movie again.
Yeah, Red gets, like, the last we see him is in the last attempt. He gets, again, he's just in some fucking pickup truck and gets run off the road, obviously, because he is trying to go toe-to-toe with a fucking Peterbilt, and then he's just like, damn it, and then it disappears until the end of the movie.
Yeah, one of my favorite things is that it is a big old Peterbilt Caterpillar engine truck, so it's like this big super special truck they're in. But so in the beginning, they try and give him a different truck. They're like, here, take this new truck. And he's like, I don't want a new truck. That would draw too much attention, and I'm trying to drive on the quiet.
I don't want that kind of heat.
I want a quiet or a different truck. And they're like, great, we'll have another truck ready in an hour. And then they get him the best possible fucking truck, and he's just like, I'll spend the rest of the movie extolling the virtues of this truck. And you're like, but you didn't even pick it. It's not your choice. It's just truck two. Anyway. He's like, 2 or 3 hours, I'll be in New Jersey. Meet me at this dock, and we'll exchange the guns.
Now, of course, Swayze is every action hero dad, because he now has superpowers that his family is imperiled. But also, this whole movie, he's been like, I gotta get home, because it's my daughter's big game tomorrow, and I gotta be there for her big game, because I've missed her games. And I'm like, that is every action movie dad.
Yeah.
You are all of them.
Also, she's sick and she needs her special expensive medicine.
And also, it's her birthday and I gotta give her this bunny.
The bunny's ugly and burned, but she loves it more because I'm also ugly and burned.
It is all of the cliches.
How many more of these did you want to go through? Also, she needs this dog because her last dog died.
And I promised her that as soon as I was able to, I'd get her a dog, but we were never financially stable. But I'm going to work my way. I need to provide for my family and my daughter.
Oh, shoot. I also forgot to mention this whole thing's happening on Christmas Eve. And I promised I'd be home for Christmas, even though every year I miss it because of trucks.
Now, he does eventually then get into New Jersey and heads to the Port Authority. And Cutler shows up, has his right-hand man, the dude who was giving Swayze shit at the start of the movie.
Yep.
And some goons. And it turns out Swayze's entire move here is he has taken the trailer. Earl has
rigged it up with a crane.
He apparently knows how to operate a crane and is capable of doing so without anyone at the Port Authority being like, "Who? What the fuck are you doing?"
Oh, I guess Port Authority just closes. It's like Gotham City. It clears out. The docks clear out at 5 p.m.
Yeah, they're like, "Oh, it's 5 p.m. It's criminal time now. Only the criminals get to be here.
Everyone out. Only criminals and cops who show up slightly too late are allowed to be here in the Gotham Harbor at this time of night."
So he has this trailer, like, with a crane hanging over the docks, and he's like, "Here's how it's going to go. You're going to give me my family, and then Earl's going to put this down, and you can have your guns, and we'll leave, and you'll get your thing. And probably Earl's fucked because he'll still be in the crane having to set it down once I have my family, so you can probably go kill him. But anyway, I don't care about Earl. I want my family." And Cutler's just like, "Well, fuck you. What if I just shoot your family?"
And he's like, "Well, we'll show you what it looks like if I dump some of your guns in the river."
Yeah, all right, Earl, give it a twist. And just kind of tilts it so the front bit of it falls out.
There's decoy cargo in the first 10 feet or so of the truck. It's a bunch of toilets. So they dump those and a few of the guns into the river. And Cutler's like, "What the? No, fucking stop it. Fine. Although he never quite gets to being like, "Fine, here's the deal." Instead, he just goes, "I'm keeping your wife, but you can have your kid." And that's when all the cops show up.
Yeah. I don't know what his plan was, because he's like, "Oh, you can have your kid, but I'll keep the wife." And you're like, that doesn't change the dynamic at all. What do you think is fine? Whatever. But before we get into what Cutler's brilliant plan is going to be, is when the cops show up and, fucking Dutton and Tobolowsky are there.
Yeah, and it's a big old shootout, and everyone's getting shooted out.
And that's why he brought a bunch of goons with him, is so that they had people that they could shoot at.
Yeah. Earl gets gut shot, but is ultimately going to be fine. Don't you worry about Randy Travis. He'll be fine.
Oh, yeah. And the two agents, of course, have a point where, like, they're shooting dudes, and then McLaren, the Tobolowsky one, like, sees a guy who's behind them and shoots him and saves Dutton's life, and he's like, "Yeah, we're cool now.
We're a team."
Cool nods.
"I'm not going to talk about psychiatry anymore.
We're cool cops now."
Yeah. "From now on, I'm like you. I hate the wrong types of minorities." "I don't care about procedure as long as I get results."
"I'm going to blow up a city block."
Yeah. So he goes through a transformation. I honestly don't remember what happens to Cutler. Does he just get shot?
Cutler still has fucking Jack Cruz's wife.
Uh-huh.
Runs around. Cruz finally, like, gets a hold of him. They get into a fist fight.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, he's going to try and shoot Jack. His wife ends up, like, biting his hand and punching him and, like, kick him and like, gets the gun.
Yeah.
And that's when the two agents show up and they're like, "All right, Miss, put the fucking gun down. We do not need random civilian with a gun."
And she drops it immediately, yeah.
And then say nothing to Jack. It has to be his wife who comes over and is like, "Please stop putting Cutler in a chokehold." And he's like, "Fine.
I guess I'll quit choke." So I guess he just gets arrested and not shot.
Yeah,
okay.
Cutler actually gets taken in.
Yeah. So after that, we get this is the Santa Claus moment where the cops are here. And so they're like, "Hey, so thank you for helping us catch this guy. That was really important. Because we're cops, we made it so that you no longer owe $9,000 on your house. Also, we got you your driver's license back. Also, we'd like you to drive the truck to the impound yard, even though there's no way that's acceptable.
And even if it was, we're also not going to send an escort with you.
We're not sending it. You're going alone. We somehow got your driver's license back, even though there's no way that that's something you guys are responsible for.
Yeah.
There's no way you could have just paid off that. None of this.
The FBI doesn't get to call up the DMV and go, hey, give this man a license. They'll go, no.
Or like the bank and be like, lay off this guy's fucking mortgage.
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
What?
What are you, Batman? Did you buy the bank? What is this?
So wild. But they're just like, we really appreciate that you brought Sonny's body back. His family will appreciate that. And we know you're a good man. And Sonny thought you were a good man. And because you're a good man, you win a brand new car.
Also, we know you committed a lot more vehicular manslaughter along the drive up here. Like,
and
you
must have
killed,
care.
You must have killed like 10 people. That's all going off the books. That shit doesn't matter. Your parole officer, we killed him. I'm your new parole officer. And I say you got to come back and tell me every time your wife blows you so I can high-five you about it. That's parole for you now. Yeah, that's how cops can do all that. Cops have ultimate discretionary lottery-giving powers.
The FBI can do anything they want.
Apparently, and the ATF can do the rest.
Yeah.
It's fucking insane. But they're like, yeah, congrats. Now, we also, Randy Travis is getting taken away in a
ambulance.
At this point, he's been insulted for being shitty at singing by Patrick Swayze, and then later, even though he hasn't heard him sing again, apologized to by Patrick Swayze.
Oh, no, like, we do have one moment where it actually, the movie transitions from
Randy Travis
singing, mm-hmm. like, as in an actual track by Randy Travis,
yeah.
to then fading to Earl singing that same song, like, the end of it a cappella.
Right.
And that's when he's like, you know what? You're actually fine.
I'm sorry. I said earlier that you were a bad singer and you should not try to be a singer. I was wrong. You're fine and you should be a singer.
You're Randy Travis and I was wrong.
Yeah. But anyway, he's like, hey, I wanted to thank you for needlessly coming with me and helping on this mission for no reason. Anyway, look, there's that dog that's still there. And Randy Travis is like, hey, could you do me a favor and keep that dog at least until I get out of things? And you're like,
was it your dog?
What are you talking about? Why do you care?
And also, he's like, yes, of course. Anyway, the dog is now going to vanish from this movie because we do have one last scene. The dog is not in it.
So they're driving to the impound yard, and I guess they're driving it through the big steel mill / industrial warehouse.
I mean, they're still in the
district.
Port Authority, I assume.
And all the cops have left. And there is a fucking steel mill they drive through at one point. So I guess New Jersey just has a steel mill in its ports. And I
need to. There is a whole conversation with the family here where Jack is like,
the high top tennis shoes. Fuck. Right.
We're going to get you some high top tennis shoes because that's what you need to play basketball because you've got a game tomorrow. And the daughter is still like, oh, and you're going to be there at the game? And I'm like, you got kidnapped by a man and threatened with a gun and have been, like, basically in a heightened sense of terror for pretty much an entire day. Maybe you go take a day off.
Uh-huh.
Maybe the game doesn't happen and you go see a therapist.
Yeah, except that we established throughout the course of the movie, the primary thesis of the movie is that psychiatry and psychology are dumb pussy bullshit for wimps.
Yes.
And if you use them, you're a piece of shit, and you need to learn to be a hard man instead.
Yeah, like Kevin Sorbo.
Yeah. How?
What the fuck?
Anyway, the big surprise is that, I guess after every cop everywhere leaves, and we go back to Gotham is populated entirely by criminals, you don't want to be on the docks after 5 p.m. That's when the Mandragora has a shipment of precious gemeralds coming in.
Yeah. And out of nowhere, like a bat out of hell,
uh-huh.
comes Meatloaf in his own fucking 18-wheel truck.
It's the truck that he turned down at the start, which is a wild concept.
Yeah.
Because that means he drove back to his house in Georgia, got the expensive truck, and drove back up with it.
And we already established it was going to be a 15-hour drive to get there. Now, granted, he does not have a trailer, so he would be going ever so slightly faster, meaning it would maybe be a 10-hour drive.
Yeah.
But apparently he does it instantaneously,
uh-huh.
and is just like, also I am here now. Bah!
Yeah. And he doesn't have any reason other than to kill him because all the guns aren't in the truck anymore.
Yeah.
He's just driving an empty trailer to the impound yard. And He just pops out and he's like, ah, Bible quotes. I'm going to kill you, Patrick Swayze. And now I'm really ratcheting up the Bible shit to 11 because we're pretty much done.
Because I'm on the way out.
Yeah, so you got any Bible quotes you like? I'm going to run through all of them.
And he...
Lo, a lake of fire.
Fucking, they get into a big driving thing. And obviously, Jack Cruz is better than Red. He wins. Red...
flips the truck.
Drives through a window.
Yeah.
The window has a truck outside, which he hits, which then flips the truck. The truck slides on its roof onto train tracks, is hit by a train, and explodes.
So I guess there's trains working that time of night, but no
well,
one
this
else.
This is obviously during the morning. It's light out.
You're right. It's daytime out.
Yeah.
It is, and you can hear him yelling well after the truck is a pancake on fire pancake. You can still hear him in there going, ah, you're like, where is he in there that he's doing that?
What are you talking about?
But yeah, he just fucking the Bible shit. And then they're like, are you okay, honey? I am. Great. Let's roll some credits, huh?
And as it pulls back from the docks, we see some cop cars show up. And I'm like, where the fuck were you?
Yeah.
That you were just off screen going like, oh shit, that guy's gonna try and kill Jack Cruz. Wait. Hold on. Let him cook. I want to see this.
I'm gonna see what happens. Anyway, this truck's now been involved in two crimes, but you know, still take it to the impound yard, I guess. Wait, did you just kill another guy? Good thing I'm your parole officer. I prescribe a round of beers.
This is your new parole officer. Officer hand jobs. To your business.
Try not to kill like five or six more guys on your way to just the impound yard. Could you just do that?
No.
No, I'm killing everyone.
Yeah, fair enough.
Well, you are Patrick Swayze. And you did learn those tricks in prison, probably.
And that, my friends, is the end of Black Dog, a movie that is full of wild choices and highly improbable villains.
God, imagine when they were trying. Remember when they were trying to make Kevin Sorbo happen?
Yep.
Like fucking, what's that movie, Krull or whatever he was in?
Where uh-huh.
Yeah, that's the only one I can think of that's a Kevin Sorbo. I think he did a Hercules. No, because he.
I mean, he was Hercules on the show.
I know he did like a movie where he was also playing a muscle, sweaty, sandy guy, but I think it was just Krull.
Yeah. I believe he was also the lead on Andromeda.
Mm, yes. Mm. And also, wait, Krull is, because there's two Krulls. It's Call the Conqueror.
Yes.
It's Call the Conqueror. Krull's the 80s movie, the 80s sci-fi.
Yeah, in my head I had it the other way around, yeah. Where I was like, oh, Krull's the 80s movie,
the
and Krull is,
yeah,
no.
But no, it's Call the Conqueror and Krull, so I don't want to get those wrong. So yes. Ghosts, don't worry, I am fixing it.
It's fine. So, now that we have come to the end of the movie, let's get into our bests and worsts. Jeff, what was the best thing for you in Black Dog?
It's just a paste. I think my best thing, I mean, the best part for me is, I get, even though he doesn't make any sense as a character in the movie at all, it's fun to watch Meatloaf rip around in a truck yelling Bible verses.
Obviously.
So probably that.
I mean, Meatloaf just shoving as much scenery as he can into his mouth is fine.
Yeah.
I'm fine with that.
That's fine. That's A-okay.
Yeah.
So that's going to be my favorite thing. What about you?
I mean, I said before, I do really like Sonny. Gabriel Cassius does a great job as the character. He's very likable. He's charismatic.
Mm-hmm.
He's one of the few people that when he's on screen, you're like, oh, look at you. You're doing fine.
I just burped directly.
You did burp directly into the mic. Here's the thing. I saw you realize you had a burp. And then position yourself to the mic.
I was completely spaced out. I was like, oh, I better arrange that so I really catch it.
Hold on. I got to have good mic discipline for this burp.
That's the worst. Do you want to retake that, maybe?
I don't.
Okay.
That is staying in.
I am so careful about avoiding things like chewing noises.
Oh, yeah. You know, whenever we got to cough or sneeze or do any bodily things, we're very good at, like, I'm going to scoot the chair away. I'm going to turn away from the mics.
And this time, just went just out of my head for a second.
Just
like, I'm gonna. Oh, everyone's got to hear this.
Oh, hold on. Let me just. There we go. Position it correctly.
I apologize, everybody. That will not happen again. I don't know what happened. The devil got in me.
The great thing was watching the thought process flash across your mind in the split second.
As I realized what I did.
Yeah, as you were like seeing it happen, going to the mic as if you were going to say something, burping, and then going, wait, what the fuck did I just do?
Did I just do that? It was like I got possessed for a second. I was being ridden by the devil. I got to start filming my Meatloaf and quoting more Bible verses. Go to the ant, you slacker.
Now, what was the worst thing in this movie for you?
I mean, I feel like just the layered dad cliches that are feel like once you got more than one of them, you're like, we're good. You're okay. We did this already. But there's just so much of this movie that doesn't go anywhere. I'm trying to pick it. You know what? I'm going to pick the fact that there's multiple black dogs in a movie called Black Dog, and none of them have anything to do with anything. And the movie ultimately does not really feature a black dog in any kind of meaningful way.
Indeed.
Like,
Thank
I was
you.
Expecting that it'd be like, Patrick Swayze is the black dog. No, he's not.
Or
he's
the
not.
Truck is, oh, this is the black dog. It's the best, hardest, hitting, meanest, shittinest truck in the world.
Yeah, or you got to learn to come to terms with the black dog. No, you don't. You don't. It's a thing from your past that doesn't matter anymore.
Yep.
So that's it. That's my least favorite thing. What about you?
Oh, it's got to be Red's entire plan.
Yeah,
that whole
thing,
make any fucking the
sense.
Entire movie, I was like, why are you doing this? What is the point of this?
Yeah, no, it's fucking insane.
It is absolutely both villains, but especially Red, just the most insane plans that are like, I'm going to fuck myself for some reason. Wild.
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
Just nuts.
Now we are going to each give the movie a rating from 0 to 5. So we give the movie a rating out of 10. Jeff.
1.5. You're right. It's a boring TV thing that is at best passable, but everything makes so little sense. And there are even the actors I like that are in this, I don't like in this. So it's not getting much for me. It's more than a 1 because I get that 1 out to a lot of real shit. And this is like, you know, okay, but not great. Like, so it's a 1.5 for me. I feel like a 3 out of 10 would have been just right if I had been in charge of the whole score.
Nah.
That said, you're going to come along and give it
no,
like
it's
a 2.5
or
something.
Yeah, it's obviously a 2.5 because it's fine.
It's not. It's really bad.
It's absolutely fine.
1.5, 2.5. That's fine.
Yep.
Getting a 4 out of 10.
4 out of 10. Basically where it should be, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And there you go. There's Black Dog. Thank you so much for joining us. We will, of course, be back in another couple weeks with more movie mastery. And if you like the show, if you want to support us, you can always go to our Patreon at patreon.com/systemmastery. Support the show. We have a bunch of different levels you can support us at. All of them unlock bonus content as well as ad-free versions of the show. You get your own feed that does not have any interruptions.
Yeah.
And it
helps
us. And you
get those sweet feed picks too. Yeah. We load it down with lots of shots of the feed.
Wiki feed is where you need to go to find out the pictures of our feed.
Yeah.
And rate them.
If you want to find all those pictures of our stinky little feed.
And if you
feed, please, BB.
Money first. You give me the money, then you see the feed.
That's how we do this.
That's how it works.
So for all you feed fetishists out there.
And of course, if you can't support us monetarily or just don't want to because you think we suck, but you still listen anyway, you can at least rate the show or tell someone about it.
If you're really mad about that burp, I understand.
I get it. Tell someone.
That was fucked up. I don't know what was going through nothing was going through my head.
No, obviously.
Yeah.
And we have at the $10 a month level, you unlock all of our content, and we are going to go do another episode of TV Mastery right now, where we've been looking at the small screen superheroes, so TV adaptations of comic book heroes, and we got Superman back again in the house. We've done several super-ish shows.
And we're certainly not done with Superman. There's plenty more that we could do.
There's more super where that came from, although I don't know if we're actually going to do more Superman shows.
Supergirl or Superman and Lois.
I mean, we're doing Lois and Clark, The New Adventures of Superman, and we are probably not going to go far enough into the future to get to the current Superman.
They have one more season. That show has been stripping itself like it's shaking off weight. Like, they keep going, we'll be canceled. Throw off 5 more actors.
We can do this. We can do this. It's fine.
Now, at this point, I think it literally is just Superman and Lois that are left on the show. They're basically just acting out like My Dinner with Andre.
Oh, My Dinner with Clark Kent.
I would watch that.
So join us over on the Patreon for that if you want to hear that. But otherwise, we will be back in another couple weeks with more movie mastery. And until then, you all have a good one.
In the universe of Star Wall Odyssey, space is made out of the collective imaginations of all the thinking beings who live on various planets. These worlds are connected to each other through imagination. Common themes and ideas are strings between universes. And to get between them, people fly wooden ships that look like animals, which are powered by emotions. Also, people communicate with each other by contemplating orbs. The only way you can take pictures is getting stared at by a big psychic bug. And people have already declared victory in a war over the very concept of evil. But I'm getting ahead of myself. Star Wall Odyssey follows the adventures of the hapless inhabitants of the Lucky Finn tenement building, who suddenly find that their apartment is actually a spaceship, and that they're lost in a sea of boundless imagination. It's an actual play starring me, James D'Amato, Mel D'Amato, Ali Grauer, and Drew Merzieski, as we playtest the No Kings system, which will hopefully one day be the Skyjack's role-playing system. It toes the line between weird and wonderful slice of life and high-flying space fantasy. You can sample the first 5 episodes by searching for Star Wall Odyssey on your favorite podcast app, or get the whole thing by heading to patreon.com/oneshotpodcast and signing up for $5 a month or more.